already know, come on. You know what time it is.
Hey, yo, I represent Queens.
Please, let them know.
Live from the 718.
Queens, stand up. Nairobi, stand up. Everybody stand up, goddammit.
Oh, shit. Back together again, the dynamic duo.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you.
Yo, we need to quell all the rumors out there and put all that stuff to bed. Your boy Joel and Rye are back together. There is no beef, all love. It's been a while since we've been together, but it's just because life has been crazy.
It definitely has been. You are engaged in getting married. I've moved to Africa. Oh my God.
Yeah, you have. And basically, you've been trying to hold it down, and I have been trying to just keep my head above water in life in general. And then I made my way back onto the pod with Mel with the 4-point play, and I've been trying to get the MI-83 brand back up and running with you guys. So it's looking good, man. For all of our fans out there, thanks for sticking through with us through this time.
And a special shout out to all the guests that I've had. Some of you, we've recorded some shows and they're not posted yet. Don't worry, they are in the MI-83 Global Citizen Podcast archive, and we'll get out there eventually.
So Joel, there's been a lot going on since we last talked about. It seems as though lately in this world that we live in, people love to put their business out there for everybody to see and hear and read and comment and give their two opinions. What do you think about all that stuff?
You know, at first when you see it, you're kind of like, yo, what is this person doing? And then I'll Snapchat myself eating breakfast, and then I'll Snapchat myself going to the bathroom. And it's just like, we all do it at this point, you know, it's kind of an addiction. But I think, you know, it's a type of attention you want to garner. And I just question what people want others to see sometimes. I'm like, for real, son?
I mean, it's fine if you want to let people know what you're eating for breakfast and, you know, how your bowel movements are going. But I feel like it's a different story when you're trying to tell the world your relationship status, whether your tits are fake or not, whether, you know, your sex life is good or not, or who you're cheating on or who you're not cheating with. And I feel as though that's when your personal business gets a little too overshared.
Or when you're trying to show people that you failed at committing suicide, you know.
Ooh, shots.
Yeah, so,
So what Joel's referring to, if you've been living under a rock, is the whole Kehlani party next door and Kyrie Irving situation. If I get this correctly, party next door and Kehlani were together and they had a ugly breakup, and then she went into a relationship with Kyrie Irving, maybe a little prematurely, but that's what it is. That's what happened. And they posted their newfound relationship status on IG, and everybody knew about it. So it was there for the world to see and hear.
The whole world to see and hear.
The whole world. And then the next thing we find is a picture of Party Next Door on his Instagram holding hands in bed with Kehlani, with a description that says, through it all, he got the R&B singer back in his bed. Nobody knew that Kyrie and her broke up, or if they broke up. And so it just caused a lot of controversy for the internet community to get back and say some kind of unkind things to Kehlani.
Yeah, I mean, internet trolls or just people in general who like to fill in on the comment section really go balls deep. They really aren't that sensitive. And I think at this point, you know, I've grown accustomed to it. No one's going to say anything nice. I just wish, I don't know. I mean, Kehlani, she's 20. Maybe that's something you do when you're 20, where, and I'm not trying to downplay the issues she's been going through, but just kind of giving people a play-by-play of what's been going on in your life. to the point where you're taking pictures of, you know, you in the hospital bed. Shout out to Kyrie Irving for his new sneakers, the Kyrie 2s. Those shits are pretty hot. But, you know, it's just a hot mess, man. And, you know, I guess, I guess we're dating ourselves, but people from our generation, we kind of try to keep things private. You know, there are some things with my friends. Maybe I'm very open. And like you said, on Snapchat and social media, I'll definitely let people know what I'm up to. But it's not all about, you know, the ins and outs of everything, for Christ's sakes.
Right, right. It's almost like it's fine to let someone peek in a little bit just to see what you're up to with your life. Like, it's okay for the world to know that you're representing Nairobi, Africa, Kenya, but you're not putting out your dick out of there for the world to see.
No, definitely not. But let me ask you this real quick. Do you think that someone like Kehlani, so like she's depressed and, you know, she's having issues to the point where, you know, she sees no other answer and tries to take her life, which is really tragic. And I'm glad that she's okay. But do you think the whole time she's doing this, she's in the back of her mind, she's saying, how can I flip this into something positive for me? Meaning something where I could somehow get some sort of publicity. Do you think she's thinking that? Or do you think it's just like we're in this age now where we just share everything at every given moment?
Man, I think it could be a combination of both. It really sucks that even as we talk about this, we're judging someone who tried to commit suicide, right? Like,
yeah, that's what it sounds like.
look, we're really glad that you came out okay. We don't advocate anybody to try and pursue killing themselves just for attention, but it does seem like either she's not strong enough or thick-skinned enough to be able to withstand the commentary that is out there when she, you know, was found out that she was back together with Party Next Door, because a lot of the hurtful things that were coming her way was like, she's a hoe, she's a whore, she's a cheater, etc. And if those are the type of things that led her to try and commit suicide, you know, you might want to take a look at your current life and what you're trying to be as a public figure, because, I mean, she's a singer and she wants to be known for to be in the public. I don't know, man. I think it's you might want to rethink all that if you want to get into the public.
I mean, you know, you got me feeling bad that we're actually criticizing her. But I just think that, I don't know, for you to have time to be like, hey, social media world, this is what just went down. You know, I just think that privacy kind of equals some sort of respect for yourself, I guess. I mean, not that she should be ashamed of what happened, you know, she's going through something, but it just doesn't, it seems less genuine.
I agree.
When you're posting it on Instagram.
Right. And, you know, for all we know, maybe her motive was to be like, hey, I did something really stupid, and I think there's people out there who feel who go through this stuff and probably tried to do what I just did, and let me tell you, it's not worth it. I don't know. We are not in her brain, and we can't say what's up, but my point of view is if you didn't want to get into that, you really should not have put all your business out there for the world to know. And if you were going to do that, you have to realize what comes with it. There's always going to be good and bad. And if you don't have the right, you know, mental fortitude for that, stay away.
Yeah. don't go on Instagram.
Or do that in private, you know, talk to your friends and all that stuff. And if you want to really showcase your love with whoever you're with.
Yeah, real quick, man. But why? What kind of stage name is Party Next Door?
I don't know, man. He's a OVO guy. He's with Drake. You know, there's The Weeknd. There's Party Next Door. There's Made in Tokyo. There's a lot of really funny, you know, names out there right now.
It's like phrases. It's not like names anymore. It's phrases.
Yeah, you should just rebrand yourself Global Citizens Joel. Like,
oh my god, or something like, I don't know, like Vodka Makes Me Black Out. That should be my
I wipe three times.
Yeah, I use baby wipes after I wipe.
Oh my god, yo, the music industry, man, there are some songs out there right now who I have, you know, started to listen to, and I don't understand it. I can't relate to it, and I am severely dating myself when I go on and try and listen to like a Young Thug song, and I don't understand a word he's saying. Like,
yeah, sure, yeah.
Exactly.
And you know what's crazy? Like for me, I came out here, so you know, I'm in Kenya, and before I came out here, I started to listen to a lot more African music, and I guess it's like African pop music, and. Nigeria really is killing the scene in terms of just African music in general. That's the most popular music in the continent. One of the artists, Wizkid, has a collabo with Meek Mill. He also has one with Drake. But here in Nairobi, it is straight hip-hop, like United States hip-hop. Like, they are seriously on par. I went to a party last weekend, and it was just literally listening to Power 105 it wasn't really a club, but I'm trying to escape it because sometimes I like that ratchet stuff, but sometimes I need a break. But it's like followed me here. Like it got on the same flight. It took a first class seat because I wasn't in first class, but it's here. And it goes to show you that even though we're like, yo, what is going on? People listen to this everywhere.
Yo, when I see your snaps, and for all those who want to know what Joel's up to, follow him on Snapchat, yo. Joe Way, Joway 25. He's got some good stuff there. And sometimes you'll see him drinking some coconut, but that's okay. yo, it's real out there, man. They are bumping some classic hip-hop. They're bumping some new hip-hop. Or what's the scene like? Is it all like hip-hop mostly? Is there some pop? Is there EMD stuff out there?
It's really a little bit of everything, man. And, you know, primarily hip hop for sure. And it's high. Like, oh, I know this song. And after a while, I'm like, yo, I don't want to hear Young Thug right now, to tell you the truth. I'd rather listen to Kenyan hip hop. Someone spit some lyrics to me in Swahili. But the scene is really cool. Just like kind of in the States, you got your hipsters. You got your Kenyan hipsters. You got your Kenyan banker types, you got your, you know, just insert. And it really goes to show you how globalization has really just transcended the world. You know, there are some things that definitely keep Kenya unique. A lot of things, actually. I shouldn't say some. But in general, there's a lot that links us together. So people should give it a look, give it a Google search, and come through.
So let me ask you something. When you've been out in the bar club scene, I'm not really sure what type of scene it is that you go out to party up, but do people, is it like the US, do they get down, like, you know, grinding and stuff, or is it more of like a lounge atmosphere where everybody kind of has some space, like, you know?
It's what you want. I haven't been to maybe like there's one kind of bump and grind place I've been to called the Vineyard. Shout out to The Vineyard, if anyone hears me, plug. but The Vineyard gives you different types of options. So if you want to dance, you could dance. if you want to lounge, you could lounge. People here really like smoking a lot of shisha, like hookah. Yeah. And I think that maybe that is a Middle East influence. I got real sick last week off of doing that. I was like inhaling like, I'm like, I probably shouldn't be doing this. But it's what you want. It's what you want. Like, really, it really feels like, if anyone who's been to the Bay Area, it kind of feels like that a little bit. There's reggae. There's really everything.
All right. Yeah, I gotta keep you up to some of the trash that's coming out, but I'll Snapchat you some music every now and then so you can know what's going on.
Please do. Speaking of trash, and I might be jumping into 4-point play territory. Okay. Shout out to Mel. Yo, D'Angelo Russell, what are you doing?
Well, that's just immaturity at its finest. For those who also haven't been following that situation, D'Angelo Russell is a Los Angeles Lakers rookie. and he's 19, 20 years old, something like that. And he recorded a conversation he had with his teammate, Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P.
Swaggy!
A.k.a. Iggy Azalea's fiance. and I didn't see it, but apparently it was about him, Nick Young, talking about how he was having relationships with, I think, a 19-year-old girl or something like that, while he's still engaged to Iggy. And that somehow got blasted into the public domain, and woo, everybody hates Russell now.
Thank God. Thank God the Lakers drafted him and the Knicks
I know.
Had no choice but to draft Kristaps Porzingis. I saw the video, and the internet here is not that strong, so I let it buffer, and I saw it. That's just some slimy stuff, man. Like, you know, he's a young dude, but that's just really, really some slimy, slimy, slimy stuff. And there's really, to me, there's no excuse. And, you know, I think eventually people are going to get over it. But, and, you know, Swaggy or Nick Young, you know, he shouldn't be cheating on Iggy. But is anyone surprised? And he could be lying, too. Who knows?
Right.
But, like, yo, my dude, like, that is just, that's some petty 14-year-old girl stuff, you know?
Right. Like, what was he thinking? So he recorded it for what reason? Like, why record it if you weren't going to do anything with it, you know?
Here's what I think happened. He recorded it as a joke, and then it was like, it's like me recording it and then being like, yo, Rod, check this out. Don't show nobody. And you see it, and you're just like, you put a Twitter post, you hashtag MI83, we get some likes, everyone's happy. And I think that's what happened. You know, if D'Angelo Russell is immature, then his boys are immature. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
That's what happened. But, and I think this is going to change locker rooms everywhere. Like, could you imagine if that was an NFL locker room? What would happen?
Oh my God. He would just get crushed. No one would defend. If he was the quarterback, yo, the offensive line would just parting of the Red Sea.
Unreal. Unreal. And, you know, It's kind of sad because even though Kobe Bryant's an asshole, I'm actually going to miss Kobe. And it's sad that he's going out to a team that's like the Titanic is like sinking. Like it's sinking, yeah. And then someone just shot a rocket at it.
So what do you think is the future of D'Angelo Russell? Like, I mean, do you think that they trade him? Do you think he stays on the Lakers and finds retribution through maturity, or what do you think?
I have no idea, man. I mean, he was the second pick. He hasn't had a really good season, but I think that the Kobe farewell tour has really sabotaged that season.
Kobe.
I don't know. Kobe, I don't know who wants that dude. Like, who wants that guy? This is the guy who's your point guard, your essentially your floor general.
So let me ask you this. Would you trade him for with the Knicks? Son, let me put a stupid imaginary situation in front of you. If somehow you can get rid of Jose and get him in return, would you do it?
Yeah, I would. I know some people who are big Jose Calderon fans, and they shall remain nameless. But, I mean, actually, no, man. No, I wouldn't. I mean, if it's getting rid of Jose, sure, but no one would ever do that. But, like, this guy's supposed to, like, lead your squad, you know? This is your point guard, and I hate the fact that he shaves those stupid-ass little things into his eyebrows. What is this? 2003, son? Come on, yo.
I mean, look. In the triangle, you don't really need a point guard, right?
Stop with the triangle. I don't want to hear anything about a triangle.
You're going to put me on timeout. I'm sorry.
New topic. Leave that for the four-point play. Bounce pass to you, Mel.
Oh, God. Yeah, I told Mel that I don't want to talk about the Knicks because it puts me in an angry place.
I heard that.
She still tries to bring it up. It's always like, okay, get Rye angry.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm going to try not to be mad about the Knicks anymore. It's just wasted energy. They are better than last year. Chris Stapps is the future and the end.
The end. So this weekend here in the States is WrestleMania weekend. And recently...
shout out to Gawker.
Exactly. Recently, Hulk Hogan has come out on top with the almighty leg drop on Gawker. He won $140 million with an additional, I think, 20 or 40, I forget how much, million for punitive damages. So he came out with almost $160 million out of this case. The case is a really unique situation because it's been published since, I think, 2011. Hulk Hogan made a sex tape with his then best friend's wife.
That is just grimy. Terry.
But his best friend somehow knew. His best friend set it up. Like, he was cool with it. It'd be like if I was like, yo, Joel, would you like to have sex with my wife? I will be cool with it. And
no, thanks, Ryan. I don't want to do that, Ryan.
But Hulk did it. Afterwards.
They call that cuckold, right? Cuckolding?
I don't know, man. I think it's swinging. Isn't it swingers?
You have to look that up.
All right. Well, look, people out there in the world, let us know what this is.
I think it's cuckold, but go on.
So while you look that up, let me finish up where we are. So then he basically found out that there was a sex tape, and Hulk Hogan went around and kind of, you know, played it up a little bit. He was like, yeah, you know, brother, I got the Mighty Python came out and laid the smackdown on things. And, you know, he went on like the Howard Stern show and did all these, you know, kind of like getting ahead of it, I guess. And it really wasn't out there for the world to hear. And then Gawker did like an editorial piece on it. And it really wasn't anything crazy. It was just more about like, would you watch a sex tape of Hulk Hogan? And they showed like a 9-second clip. I mean, I didn't see it, but from what I've heard, it's basically him just standing there, like talking to the girl. Nothing really scandalous, probably nothing you wouldn't see in a rated R movie. But where it got a little tricky was about a year ago, in this sex tape, Hulk Hogan goes on a complete racist and he drops the N-word over and over and
N-bombs
over again. N-bombs like bombs over Baghdad. And basically
he got $160 million for it.
Well, he lost his job with the WWE. They erased him from all of history, took him off the Hall of Fame, etc. Like, you know, completely disassociated with him. Now, that's why I think he went out and tried to sue Gawker, because he felt like he lost his livelihood. But son, let me tell you how he won this $160 million situation.
Please.
He came across to tell the world that there is a difference between the man, Terry Bollea, and the fictional wrestling character Hulk Hogan. And in a jury of 12 in Florida, where he resides from, who all love him because he told them to say his prayers, take their vitamins, and train. He went on to say that as Terry, he never gave authorization for this sex tape to go out there. And it is Hulk Hogan who went around talking about it. But he even said that Hulk Hogan's penis is 10 inches, but Terry's is not. He used an alter ego in order to win this case. And I think that if the Gawker people weren't such douchebags on the stand, they could have won this thing. He did not have a solid game plan to combat this.
It goes to show you do not commit a crime in the state of Florida. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. I really lost kind of all respect for Hulk Hogan after that video dropped when he was just end bashing. But I mean, Hulk Hogan came out on top. I mean, Gawker's are going to go under. I know Gawker ain't got $200 million in the bank. No way. No way in hell.
Well, I know that they're appealing this.
I mean, of course they're going to appeal. But if that doesn't work out, Gawker's gonna go night night. I wonder who advised Hulk Hogan to say that that Terry let his alter ego do all the talking, because I can guarantee you the only person who calls Hulk Hogan Terry is probably Hulk Hogan's late mother.
Exactly. I can't tell the difference between Hulk Hogan, the character, and the guy who plays Hulk Hogan. It's all the same to me. I've only seen him as that.
Hulk Hogan called himself t-shirt. Hulk Hogan. I mean, he did after he heard he was 160.
He's like,
160, brother.
So congrats, Hulk Hogan, or Terry, or whatever you want to call yourself. You just got yourself $160 million, but you're still a racist.
Yeah. I just don't understand how Gawker let themselves lose like that. Like, get some – who was on this – who was defending them, you know? Like,
well, the problem, I think, where it started with them was – I mean, from my point of view, was – there was a question that I feel like it was the founder or like the editor at the time when they said, so would you post videos, sex videos of just anybody? Like as if like they found Joel, your sex tape, if you had one, right. Would you post it? And he said, maybe, you know, perhaps. And they're like, to what degree would you not post something? And he's like, it really depends. And he went on to ask the guy, would you put out child, like, you know, pornography in some sense? And he goes, well, it varies to certain degrees. Like, and that's where I think things went real sour for Gawker. Like, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't ever say anything that could put yourself with child pornography. That's terrible.
Gawker's like, we don't give a fuck. We put it out there. We don't give a fuck.
It's news. We're going to put it out. No, not at all, man. So, Gawker, you guys took an L, a huge L. And
the leg drop, man.
The leg drop, man. He hulked up, man. Gawker was killing him, and he was like, nah, finger of doom. Yeah. The finger wag. Three punches.
Breathing. You know when he would breathe really hard, we'd be like, with the fish lift, like. He came back and won.
He came back and won.
So real quick, cuckolding is the husband of an adulteress, often regarded as an object of derision. So that would make the husband who was cool with Hulk sleeping with his wife on camera the cuckold.
Good job, buddy. Bubba the Love Sponge was his name.
Bubba the Love Sponge. Wow.
He was a radio personality in Florida.
That's a shame. Speaking of radio, this is a weird transition. Follow me on this one. Radio. Bad Boy. Bad Boy is making a comeback. Well, they're not making a comeback, but they're going to be in concert for the month of May. And I'm trying to go when I'm back, but I don't see it happening. But it's just, we were talking about this earlier. The fact that me, you, and all, you know, all our friends who graduated high school the same time as us are excited makes me feel that much older. Like,
yeah, man,
it's like my sister going to New Edition concerts. Cause that's like her time. And you know, it's like, you know, New Edition's been done for a minute and is bad boy is cause it's Bad Boy for Life, but Lil Kim, Locks,
112.
Oh, 112. 112, help me sing. I think that a lot of us are excited. And I'm going to try and make it, Puff. And you know Puff, not Diddy, Puff. I know Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy. Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot of people, too, that are not going to be there because Puff kind of did them dirty, a.k.a. Shine.
Shine, who's still in jail. Hope you listen to this.
AKA G Dep.
Yo, I heard an interview with G Dep and it does not sound good. It was G Dep and there's another dude who was on the Combat Jack show who Black Rob. Oh boy.
Black Rob. Oh my god. Yeah, he's in jail too, I think.
I don't think he's in jail. He came out with another album and it's just not up to par. No, it's not good.
Whoa.
It's not whoa. Nothing could be whoa ever again. It's a solid 3, yo.
I feel like I'm real excited though. I mean, Bad Boy, man, that's 20 years plus.
Oh, damn.
1996, 97. I mean, you know, they were getting in their groove in 95, 94, but then they reached like mass appeal in 96, 97 when Biggie hit with Hypnotize, and then after Biggie's death. You know, it's Bad Boy for Life, baby.
Yeah, Puffy, he really rode Biggie's death. I it sounds messed up, but you know, he really rode it. So like, would you say their reign was from like 94 to about 04, or was it, what would you give him in terms of dates?
Let's see. 94 to 97 was like solid Bad Boy like era, like couldn't get any better. Then it slowly started to dip when Puffy came out with Forever, unfortunately, because Forever just did not, you know. Oh well, the post Biggie was 97 to like 2000, I think, and then it took somewhat of a dip in 2001 ish. But then Puffy found some relief, man, with the Harlem Shake and the G Dep and special delivery.
Yeah. Where Puffy went wrong is when Forever was bad. But then didn't Forever have Hate Me Now?
No, Hate Me Now is actually a Nas song.
Oh, it is Nas' song, right?
Puffy jumped on. I think it was on. It was written. No, it wasn't. It was written.
No, it wasn't. It was written. It was the one. New York City. I missed those sirens, New York. Someone got shot. Or choked on an apple.
Yeah, this is live from the 718, man. This is what we do.
But where Puffy messed up is in that Forever album when he came out with the Spanish version of it. I was just dude, what are you doing?
Too much J-Lo, man.
She was like, Papi, come out with the Spanish. I mean, he was like, that's right.
Bad boy.
But people here are actually talking about Puffy's last album, which I haven't heard. They said that it's actually really good. I didn't even know he had an album. But some of the younger
cats
love
it. I couldn't find it. I don't know where like, it was like the MMM, I think it was.
Yeah. They downloaded it off of somewhere, but they said it's actually pretty hot. But
I mean, I had a couple of like songs I downloaded from him that I thought were pretty good in the last year or two, but I couldn't find that album. I don't know if he's coming out with another album, but I do know that he's working on another collaboration called No Way Out Part 2. So we'll see what how that comes out.
Wow. So he's trying to. No Way Out came out in 97?
Yeah, 96, 97.
So 10-year reunion for No Way Out. That was a...
Not
was
son, a, son. Do your math. Album. Do your math. That's 20 years, bro.
Oh, Christ. Sorry. I don't want to believe it.
Bad Boy had a long reign. You know what, though? It goes to show, though, that he is still doing his thing, because think about all the other ones that were around back then. Rough Riders. You got Rockefella. They're all gone.
Yeah. But also, you know, I don't think any of them. Yeah. Death Row, you know, came out firing, but I don't think any of them had a 8 to 10 year reign. Who do you think now is kind of like the new Bad Boy? I mean, Rockefella kind of took over, but I don't know if it had the 10 year reign.
I'd probably say Cash Money, Young Money, because Lil Wayne came out with the Carter 3 in 2008, I want to say.
And that was the best Carter album, I think.
Yeah, and I think that ever since that album, you know, then followed up with Drake and then Nicki and then the Young Money crew and all that stuff, I felt like they've had a pretty decent run since 2008 till now. And I feel like there's no more crews anymore like that, though, you know, like Bad Boy and Rough Riders and Rockefeller. I feel like they all are just kind of doing, like, you put out an artist and then they rep their own thing. Like, Drake is more OVO now than Young Money, I feel like.
Well, I think now everyone's really about making money for real, for real. I think in the past, like, you see with Bad Boy, you know, Puffy took advantage of a lot of those dudes. Like, 112 made no money. The Lox.
But you know what? They're going to be at that reunion show.
I mean, Puffy's like, I got a $20,000 check for you, probably. Slim.
112.
Oh, man. Peaches and Cream, but that Only You, that Only You remix was, I think, my favorite Bad Boy, like, where you had pretty much the whole crew. About the Benjamins, but Only You was just like, that's just like kind of like, yo, I'm thinking about that girl that I have a crush on.
Was the introduction of 112, and then I think if it wasn't for Biggie, though, I don't think it would, and Mace, I don't think it would have been as good as it was.
That song or Bad Boy that in general? Song.
No, that song.
I mean, but it was, you're right. You know, Biggie and Mace kind of sandwiched it. It was like the Oreo. They were the chocolate. But just every part hit so well in that song.
Let me tell you something. Where I think Puffy, yeah, he brings like the super production kind of value to his songs. His formula of success was, like, untouchable. You take an 80 sample, you take some R&B kind of crooning, mix it with some hip-hop rap, and that's it.
That was take his, kids that from was the 80s, but do it sound so crazy. Yeah.
I mean, I want to go to that thing. I'm trying right now as we speak to get tickets for it. Me and E are trying to do it. We'd like you to be a part of it if you can.
Yeah, we'll see. Home. We'll see.
So you got to holler at me so that we can get on there.
Yeah. Shout out to Puffy, though, for being crazy, man. I think a lot of people thought Puffy was soft until he, you know, there was rumors of him beating his ex-manager with the phone. But I think it all came home when he attacked that coach with the kettlebell. Those kettlebells are heavy as hell, yo.
Yeah, they are, man. They're legit.
Shout out to Puffy, yo. Keeping it real, yo. You know, a lot of these guys be like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Like, Meek and Drake going at each other. Ain't nothing really happened. Puffy whooped a coach's ass with a kettlebell
for his baby Puffy boy, also...
for Justin.
I love you, baby boy.
I love you, baby boy. It's great for you.
Puffy also fucking smacked Drake, when they were they argued over the 0 to 100 beat. I mean, Drake did it on that, though, so I don't really know what Puffy could have done better.
Puffy, and you could tell Puffy when he's crazy, he's probably wearing, like, some navy blue velour suit. Yeah. And he's just losing his shit. But shout out to Bad Boy. I'm really excited about that concert. I'm really going to try and go, but it's at Barclays or MSG?
No, it's at Barclays because it's on I think it's the day before Biggie's what would be his 44th birthday.
Gotcha.
So I hear rumors that there's going to be a hologram of Biggie at the show.
Wow. Oh, so, man.
What the deal, playboy?
Baby.
Coogee down to the socks.
I'll never forget. So I used to live really close to where Biggie grew up. Biggie grew up on St. James and Fulton, I want to say.
Fulton. Yep.
And I used to live on Fulton and between – on Irving Place. So my train stop was Fulton, Washington, where on the Juicy video where they're doing the pull-ups and he's rapping. But one time I was walking back and I see little C's and he looked at me like, who is this punk walking down the street gentrifying my neighborhood? I don't know what I was wearing, but I was like happy to see him, but he was not happy to see me.
I wonder if Little C's will be there. I forgot all about him.
I mean, he is the driver, right? Wasn't he Biggie's driver?
I guess. He was just the guy that Biggie was like, you're my boy, you ride with me throughout this entire run.
I'm going to write this down. Why don't you spit this?
Anyway, bro, I know it's mad late out there in Nairobi. It's what, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it's about to be one.
So thank you for doing this. Congrats on your new place out there.
I appreciate it, man.
Minted out.
Brand minted new. Out. Would never be able to afford this in New York City. two bedrooms and a pool and a sauna. I think that's happening. All is happening, yeah.
Pinch yourself, yo.
Yeah.
So have a good time out there. Obviously, you know, hit me up whenever you can, and obviously keep doing your thing on the Global Citizens podcast. We'll connect again. The 7-hour time difference will not stop us. Can't stop us.
Won't stop us.
Yeah, man, it's been good doing this again, and we'll do it again hopefully soon. We'll catch y'all on the flip side.
All right, peace, everybody.
Peace. Yo, I represent Queens, bitch.